Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, live stream.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good day, everyone. This is Kathleen Bolt at the Medium's Porch, and I am here with my good friend Celeste Elliott. We are both registered mediums in Lilydale, New York, and you are listening to Lilydale Radio on Blog Talk as well as watching us on Facebook. And I welcome you today. Today is a beautiful spring day up here, and we are happy to be here. We've got a lot of stuff we want to cover today, just to get you aware of the beautiful season ahead of us. Lilydale Assembly is a center for spiritualism, those of you that are tuning in for the first time, and we are a year-round community. There are mediums as well as other people, other spiritualists living on the ground. I know we'll probably touch on that really briefly. Celeste here, as you see her here, she and I met a long time ago. Celeste is a reverend in the Spiritualist Church. She is a member of the Church of the Living Spirit. And you probably know her if you've been listening to Lilydale Radio as a host as well. She is an expert podcast host. She is our guru for all of us that are new to podcasts here on Lilydale Radio. And she has been doing her podcast, Wake Up to Spirit, for, the last 7 years now?
I think it's closer to five, but thank you for thinking I did it that way.
I'm giving you all that extra time, yeah. Exactly. Celeste is a beautiful medium. She has been working for more than 11, 12 years as a full-time professional medium. And she trained at the same school I did, which is Fellowships of the Spirit. That's where we both got our start. And we learned quite a bit there about healing, about how to work with clients. I mean, a lot of that stuff comes naturally, but at the same time, it's nice to have a container to put it in. And they have been very supportive of us. When we began, as we were learning to put a context around the nature of being a medium. Celeste is a born natural medium and second generation, third generation. How many generations, Celeste?
Well, we know it runs on my mom's side at least. We could put at least three generations in there, including myself. So
beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. I know there's some families where it runs through the lineage, but because there's no context, they just end up incorporating into their daily life because it is normal for us as humans to have intuition, right?
Yeah, and I think also even with context, it's incorporated into daily life. And you see that a lot with spiritualist families because, you know, as the practice of our religion and our belief system that spirit is always all around us, you know, it's just normalized in a way that it's like, oh, I had a dream about Uncle Bob last night, or or I was putting away grandma's, china into the cupboard today, and she said, oh, be careful with that. That was my favorite sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can be a beautiful experience to know that, they're still with us and they still want to interact and have those relationships. So.
I have a funny story I can share with you. I had this beautiful set of silver, and on the handles, they were made of pearl, and it was a dessert set. It was a silver set. And when I was a little girl, my grandmother, I kept telling her, I love this, I love this. And I would pretend to use it. She never actually let me use it, but I could use it. And she always warned me, like, don't put it in water, right? So she told me this whole thing. Anyway, it was a very special set because of all this hype around it. And of course, it's absolutely stunning and beautiful. So then, you know, time comes in your adult life when you feel like, I don't use this stuff. I can give it to someone else that'll use it, or I'm purging. So I ended up purging a whole bunch of historic stuff that I collected as a young lady. And one of the things I had was this silver set. And I thought, well, you know, it kind of breaks my heart to do this, but I think I will. Well, it turns out I had been looking at that set and had that set for years, not realizing the lock could work on the actual box. So we had this antique dealer come in, and he's looking at everything. He comes up to this box, and he's trying to open it, and he couldn't open it at all. And I started laughing because I'm like, my grandmother does not want me to sell this. So, yeah, they find their way to synchronize things so that we don't do some things. But, of course, they don't have control over our life. But, yeah, I still have the set, and I'm glad I didn't sell it, by the way, just to end that story.
You know, and the thing is, like, they don't want control over our lives. I think that's so that's such a misconception when people come to us and they think, well, you know, I've had a number of people, you know, sometimes I'll go and sit with people as they're passing as a minister or they'll come into, you know, a mediumship session with me and it's like, you know, they're being pulled in, you know, by, you know, other family members and they'll say, you know, well, I'm afraid because I don't want them to tell, you know, to tell me that I did it wrong or that, you know, they're afraid of judgment in some way. And really it's meant to be just such a loving and uplifting space. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to bring us inspiration and support and not, you know, my standard example has been nobody wants to tell you off for folding your socks wrong. You know, it's like there's such controversy over whether you make the, you know, you fold them inside out or you fold them over each other. So
exactly. This is the way you do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember a story a long time ago, somebody told about how the family had this tradition because their mother always took the, I think it was the ham and cut off the ends before she put it in the the thing. And they all just assumed in the pot. So they assumed that if she was doing that, there must be a very good reason. And so they were, I guess, arguing about this because this wasn't going to taste good because these ends weren't cut off. And in the end, the mother shared with them that she just did that so it would fit in the pan.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes those are the things that come up in sessions, right? That
oh, absolutely.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Where, you know, we think once they're gone, we don't get to talk to them anymore. We don't get to ask questions. But it's like if we're in conversation with our loved ones, if we stop othering them and, you know, giving that thought of like, well, you know, they're gone sort of thing, then they will be in cooperative energy with us and they'll tell us not what to do, but, you know, maybe why they did things a certain way. And, you know, we say cash is, they say cash is king in business, but context is key, is king in the rest of the time.
Right. And a lot of what we're doing with our evidence, and I say we, I mean spirit and us as that team connection to the sitter, to the client, we're building awareness. Right. We're bringing acknowledgement of the spirit. We're bringing awareness of the memory so that that individual can become more aware of many things at once. Right. I mean, they're going to be becoming aware of a love or a history or the fact that somebody else even remembers things that they may not even have thought were memorable. I mean, I find it fascinating that the range and scope that we get when we're listening to spirit coming through and watching what happens for the individual receiving, you know, there's so much there.
Oh yeah. Well, and the funny thing too about people's memories, have you ever read For Twins?
No.
Okay. So I've had a few occasions through the course of my career where I've read for twins who were very, you know, like lockstep with each other.
Okay.
Some twins aren't.
Right.
Some twins just need to come into being at the same time, but they've got their own things going on. And sometimes even twins who are in lockstep remember things in different ways. So, you know, there's this perception. But it's so neat because one might remember details about one thing and another remembers details about another thing. And then when it comes together with spirit, it's like they share that with each other and it brings up, you know, because the spirit person has a third a third perspective, and it's just, it's really beautiful.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I haven't had the luxury of that yet.
Well, now that I've said it, though, you're due.
Oh, yeah, it'll synchronize somehow, right? It'll be
right.
Coming up soon. Yeah.
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 Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that whole idea that we're connected like twins, right? We have this experience where we have similarities. We see the same things. We see it from a different vantage point. And yet with the twins, they're also having that connection of energetic sameness, right? That's even greater and stronger than regular siblings may.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I think part of that might be because they assume that they're supposed to.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah.
You know, because nobody's told them not to, you know, so, I think that's really important, but they also, you know, they have a lot of practice on us because they start communicating with each other well before they're born, because they've got to figure out how to share space together.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that would be true.
and babies aren't, you know, always in the body all the time anyway, you know, and partially because they sleep so much. And we sleep even in the womb, you know, so that's very interesting. I talk about people, babies coming down to Earth almost like scuba divers, you know, getting used to different levels of pressure and how, you know, they have to learn how to be on our plane of reality, which is so much more dense than the spirit planes. Yeah, so we get used to it. we forget, you know, unless we have dreams or we have lucid meditations where we're out on different planes of reality or traveling around, that we can get up and stretch sometimes. We don't have to stay in the body.
Exactly. So, yeah, I love that analogy. I mean, it makes perfect sense because, you know, when we've done meditations and stuff, I'm sure you've had the experience, maybe not doing a mediumship session or maybe, because I've had some pretty powerful ones too. But when we're doing our own meditations, our own connection with spirit, that feeling of actually leaving the body or being particularly light or levitating, you know, this idea that, oh my gosh, there is no form. And so it makes sense to me when you say that, because as we come back, we always say that when we do meditations too, right? Coming back into the body, right? Come back to your body, become aware of your body, bring yourself into your form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because it's so natural for us, you know, we're interdimensional beings also. It's just that we can't take our physical form with us.
One of the things that I know as a medium, sometimes there were years there when I wasn't doing mediumship and I was really in my body and I was dancing and I was doing that type of thing. I was getting in touch with my form. But when I started doing more mediumship, it became very easy to forget about the form and to, you know, not go for those walks and not eat that good food, you know. And I think that's something that is part of our spiritual journey, to have the two together, to bring that balance, to understand what it is. I mean, why else would our spirit come into a body unless we wanted to have the experience of the body, right?
Yeah. I'm 99% certain I signed up just for the chocolate and coffee. I could just be me. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm probably more of a donuts girl, which is really complicated when it comes to dieting, because then if that's your thing, there's a lot of calories in there.
Well, you know, everything in moderation.
That's why they make Timbits. So you can have a Timbit and not feel deprived. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So, well, and as a Canadian, Tim Hortons is a national dish, right?
Oh, true. I actually, you know, I tend to go to other coffee shops more, and I love going into a small town and exploring what coffee shop they have and what they're serving and how they decorated it and how people hang out there and catch that vibe. But I do go to Tim's, and more lately because it's closer to Lilydale. There's a shop really close to Lilydale, so I tend to go there more often now. But I literally, and why I'm telling you this is I literally went out and bought from Tim Hortons, not to advertise them or because I was this huge fan, but because it was a red flask that had a maple leaf on it. And one
there
day I just walked in there and I'm like, Old Home. I mean, I haven't been there, you know, in 20 years, but there was just this sense of this red vial that had a maple leaf on it. And I just like, yeah, spontaneous purchase, probably unnecessary, but yeah.
Well, that's all right too, you know, so,
yeah.
But, I mean, the only thing more Canadian than that is if they filled it with maple syrup to begin with.
You know, they should serve butter tarts there. I think at Tim Hortons, they should have butter tarts because that's a unique thing. That is something that I haven't found here often. There was one woman that had a bakery in North Tonawanda, and Queen of Tarts, and she did make butter tarts just like my grandmother. But I haven't found any since. And but of course that's totally just sugar, right? So it's probably
and then the other thing is
on the health list.
Because I think we don't refer to them really as butter tarts here. But you can find them. But you know, because for us it's akin to pecan pie without the pecans.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's probably a tad sweeter. Yeah, it's probably a tad sweeter. But, yeah, I mean, how can you go wrong? You know, sweetener. I like using maple syrup, actually. Maple syrup, butter, and egg. Can't go wrong. I mean.
Well, and those things are so tied to, you know, our traditions and our sense of home and our sense of self sometimes. And you know, so it's food, but it becomes, you know, just the memory of it becomes food for our soul.
Yeah.
Also.
What food makes you think of home?
You know, my brother and I both, when we were adults and we weren't living in the house anymore, but we were, you know, come home to visit, like from college or whatever, it was always our mom's roast.
Nice.
So, and what's funny is when I finally got my first apartment and I was cooking, I'd have to call her all the time because my mom always worked but she always made dinner. But usually we were crock pot people. So I had to learn how to make things in an oven because I only knew how to make it in a crock pot and how long to turn it on for. And you can't put things in the oven for 8 hours like you could put it in the crock pot.
True. And how do you like the Instapot? Do you have one?
I do. Yeah. I got it for Christmas a few years ago, and I quite enjoy it. Yeah.
It's really handy in season, I found last summer.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You can throw something in on your short break and be eating, you know, a few minutes later. Well, a few minutes, maybe a half hour later after another reading. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly,
and that, which is such a good thing. But also, you know, speaking of the Lilydale season.
Oh, yes, we should probably talk about that. To start with, before we get there, I want to mention you're managing Sunday, the meditation event. We're going to be having meditations every hour. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
So I think you might actually have two things mixed
together. Oh, do I? Okay, well then, good thing you're here to clarify.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
So during the Lilydale summer season, we do have Sunday night home circle, which is not the meditation, because there was an evening of meditation last year also. But Sunday evening home circle, which is a mediumship development on Sunday evenings in the Healing Temple. And anybody can come to that. You can purchase the ticket ahead of time, or you can come and at the door. It's a $10 ticket, and we spend a couple hours doing, we do a meditation, we build the energy, and then we go into practicing giving messages. So for people who are curious and are looking for some sort of guidance as far as form, how to do things, there's no lecture like the class I teach every week on Fridays during the off season, but there's but it kind of helps you to build your power and go into that. So
yeah, so
great.
You're in charge of that on Sunday nights during season, right?
Yes.
This Sunday though, on the 21st of May, isn't that the meditation event?
You know what? We actually did not put anything together.
Oh, it didn't happen. Okay.
Yeah. So
or is not going
so
to happen.
It might be that we do it at another time, but
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
so I just didn't want to miss that opportunity
if
we were doing it. Yeah, there's a lot, like I said, at the beginning, there's a lot going on. So beautiful, yeah. So season starts on June 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual, that's opening day, opening ceremony, right? You want to tell us a little bit about opening ceremony there?
So opening ceremony, we were founded as a spiritualist camp. We are still a spiritualist camp, although there are permanent houses. We're here all year. We don't roll up the streets or bar anybody after season. That would be very silly. Every year at noon on the first Friday of camp season, which this year is Friday...
The 23rd.
June 23rd at noon, we meet over by the Lilydale office, which is off of Cottage Row. There's Cottage Row and Melrose Park. And we raise the flag. There's a prayer. We play the national anthem. And that opens the camp for us. And then everything begins. So that's at noon, and then we have our first dump, our first inspirations dump, all message service out in the woods at 1 o'clock. And we go into our daily, weekly events, and our, you know, special, everything special that we do that makes Lilydale such a great thing. We have our first healing temple that evening. It's great fun.
And butterfly release.
That's
I was just
right.
trying to look here
day.
To get the actual time for that.
Yeah.
For but if you go to LilydaleAssembly.org, all of that will be showing up there. And or you can watch the Facebook page as well, right? Lilydale Assembly Inc.
And by the way, for people who don't know, we are doing the. And by the way, that. My brain's going three directions at once.
I know what that's like.
My release is listed under special events on the Lilydale website. And we are doing the catalog, our very iconic Lilydale catalog, a little differently this year. So instead of it being just automatically mailed out to people, they have to call and request it. So you would want to call the Lilydale office or email them at info@lilydaleassembly.org. And I believe we're still giving them out at the gate, but I believe there is a charge for postage this year. So.
And the phone number for the office is 716-595-8721. 716-595-8721.
That would be great.
So we have a main stage act on June 23rd, and that is the powerful history of the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull. And they will be having Bill Holman, who's the appointed guardian of the artifact. This particular artifact is a skull made of crystal, if you're not aware of that. And it was found in 1924 by F.A. Mitchell Hedges. It's a human-sized skull. It is reputed to be a pre-Columbian Mesoamerican artifact. There are people that dispute that, but that's all part of the wonder and mystery of these types of things, so you can make your own mind up about things. But Bill will be there, Bill Holman, and he will be sharing you the history of the crystal skull and most likely talking about the other skulls that are part of that lineage as well.
And then... we have also for opening weekend the Tibetan monks, the Dalai Lama's traveling Tibetan monks.
My favorite.
Yeah, and they will be here all weekend doing various events. They'll be building their sand mandala up in the fire hall, so you can just drop by and see that at any time. And it's really, you know, it's very, very cool. They do a tremendous job every year of kind of explaining the culture and everything that goes into the art of making a mandala, which is, you know, it's almost painful to see something so beautiful made and then, you know, they release it. It goes away. And each one is, you know, they have set designs, but also it's each one is just a little bit different, a little, you know, it's just that kind of magic.
From what I understand this year, we are addressing the green Tara. It's going to be a green Tara ceremony, one of my favorites. I love that chant. And what I love about the mandala, and it is painful to watch that in the sense that, especially as a creative person, you put a lot of effort and focus and time and love into a creation of any kind. Mm-hmm. And then something happens to it. I mean, remember when you were a kid and somebody was, you know, you're making a block, building with blocks or something, and somebody comes on and smashes it. It's like, you put so much love and heart in it. But what I love about the way the monks do this is the reason they do it is to acknowledge the fragility of life, the fragility of existence, especially of the physical world. And so it puts that focus back on, hey, we can express ourselves. This is my interpretation, of course. We can express ourselves physically. We can appreciate the beauty, but being in the present is all that we have when it comes to physical will. Being in the present, being acknowledging of that which is right in front of you, the beauty, the love, the joy, the ability to express that. And then it changes again. So that is the only constant, is change. And, you know, as we go through our lives, we set these goals and we want to achieve them. And I'm going to get on my soapbox here for a second, but sometimes we can't control these things. And when things don't go the way we want them to, it's really important for us to recognize that spirit is still with us and spirit has not let us down. When things don't go the way we want them to, it has a lot to do with us not maybe seeing the other options or recognizing en route to when it didn't work that there were other options made available to us that would have been more in harmony with us, or that there was another higher reason or cause in place that allows us and gives us a new opportunity in our disappointment, but allows us to have this opportunity to do something differently, learn something else, expound, learn, grow. And it's all part of it. We can't let that keep us down. That's kind of how I feel. So there's my little soapbox for today. What are your thoughts on that, Celeste?
No, I think you expressed it perfectly. And that's a lot of how we hear the monks describe it too, you know. So but we have incredible things going on in Lilydale this summer, and I hope that people go and check that out. We've got more entertainment this year than we have in the past. So if you are, you know, only a couple hours away or you're local and you're looking for something to do on a Friday or Saturday night, you know, that's something to turn your attention to, really.
Mm-hmm. We've got the paranormalist, illusionist, mentalist. That's definitely good for entertainment. David Merlin is coming. We've got Beatle magic, right? The magic mystery evening with the Beatles. Of course, it's not the real Beatles. It is a cover band. But apparently they do their best to create the atmosphere. Maybe they'll play my favorite song. What's your favorite song, Celeste, for the Beatles?
Oh, it is a toss-up between the oddness of Eleanor Rigsby, because occasionally that will just slip into my head for no particular reason, and probably All You Need Is Love.
Oh, I like that one, yeah. Yeah, mine is Let It Be.
Oh, that's a good one. We've got, and by the way, I was here way back when we had the ghost hunters in Lilydale, back in the early 2000s, when the show was first out and very popular, and they were selling out our auditorium 2-3 times a day, and we have them back this year, which is super, super exciting because the show is back. So, you know, for people who watch all these shows on TV, they can come and meet these people. So we've got the Ghost Hunters, we've got Jack Osborne coming, the paranormal couple, and
John Zaffis.
John Zaffis, Raymond Moody, who is not spooky, but Dr. Raymond Moody, who did all of that research into near-death experience and afterlife, and there's a whole weekend on that. And also
Dr. Eben Alexander is part of that. They're going to be doing a panel with Raymond Moody, Dr. Eben Alexander. I think he's Eben Alexander III. And he's published a lot of books on near-death experiences, proof of heaven, the map of heaven, and living in a mindful universe. So they're doing a panel on the near-death experience. They're also including in that, just before you pass experiences. I forget what that's called. ELE? Oh, it's before you pass. Yeah. There are experiences that we get that are connecting with the spirit loved ones on the other side. And
exactly.
So we also have Christopher Kerr coming in. He's a Buffalonian chief medical officer and chief executive officer at the hospice and palliative care in Buffalo. And so he's going to be talking about that, the passage, you know, moving from life to life, right? That passage. So they're having a panel bringing this all together. And I love that. I think that's going to be really fascinating to witness. And it's being moderated by Karen Newell, who is someone who works in sound, I'm going to just say sound therapy, although I don't know if she would call herself a therapist, but she offers wonderful things there. And then Shannon Taggart, you've met Shannon Taggart, am I correct?
Oh, yeah, several times. And she's absolutely wonderful. And she has been really good at bringing her symposium to Lilydale year after year, the Science of Things Spiritual. And it brings together intellectuals who are also rooted in some sense of spirituality. So we get really, really, really interesting conversations with that.
Yeah, I've not met her. I'm looking forward to hearing her and her symposium.
Yeah, she's wonderful. And she had a book out a couple of years ago. I had her on my show, and she did her actual book dedication in Lilydale, but it was the New York Times best-selling book for photo book for, I think, a couple of months running, which is, like, a very big deal. And it's called Seance. So she did a lot of research on physical mediumship, and she took a lot of photos of mediums here in Lilydale, as well as historic photos, and mediums from all over the world. But because she's originally from Rochester and lived in Buffalo, she came to our little camp for quite a bit of it. So
yeah. That was wonderful that she's doing this work, period, you know, for the world. Because in the early centuries of the Victorian era, when we were really into spiritualism, there were a lot of people using photography in parallel, right, with the proof of existence. And that kind of fell away for a while. It's nice that she's coming back and taking a look at spiritualism and spiritual phenomena and this type of work with the spirit world using photography with this new technology as well. And then I noticed that she's honoring all levels of this. So she's looking at the physical mediumship aspect, right? She's also looking at the artistic aspect of what is offered in a photograph, you know, and I think she's the one, of course, that would talk most about that. So I would encourage people to go and hear about that visit her symposium because she's going to have a lot of other people and books and information that is going to spark your curiosity and open more questions when you're looking for the answers. So I highly recommend seeing that.
And I'm aware that we're closing out of time, but I wanted to thank you very, very much for having me on as well. So,
Great having you. It's been lovely. As always, you know, I always get a chance to spend time with Celeste, and it's totally worthwhile. You can find Celeste on her webpage. You want to tell us how people can get in touch with you, Celeste?
My website is pretty easy to find. It's CelesteElliott.com. You can also find me off of the Lilydale Assembly site. So LilydaleAssembly.org under the Find a Medium connection. And that lists all the mediums in Lilydale. So you can, we're all independent contractors. So you can see energetically who you feel very connected to and go from there. So.
Wonderful. It has been great having you, and we hope we see everybody in Lilydale this summer. Try out some of those main stage events. One more thing about the main stage events. I wasn't too aware of this until recently. You can come in as a regular ticket purchaser. You can also come as a VIP ticket purchaser. So you,
that's new this year.
It is. Okay, because I was like, I've never seen this before. So that would mean that you get to sit in a reserved seat closer to the front. And then there's a reception after, so you'll have a chance to meet people, talk with them, get autographs, and that's kind of a nice treat. I think that's a wonderful opportunity for people. So keep that in mind as you're booking. But don't forget also there are classes throughout the summer that can keep you busy and also entertainment, as we had mentioned. So please check in www.lilydaleassembly.org. And I am Kathy. You'll find me at Medium Kathleen. You'll find Celeste by her name. It's nice when it's, you know, our names. It just makes it so easy. All right. I want to thank everybody. Have a great day, and we'll look forward to talking with you all again soon. Be well.